acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you've read through the Gospels and the book of Acts, you will see that Simon Peter comes across as one of the more endearing characters. Even though he was certainly the vocal leader among the apostles and would ultimately become the first bishop of Rome, he comes across as very human and relatable. Jesus called him from his fishing business to follow him and to become a fisher of men. This call would resurface later in his life, as we will see momentarily. As we think about the life of this great man, I want to think about it in terms of two scenes, two very important scenes from his life. And as we will see, I think there's a reason within this as to why Simon Peter seems so relatable to us. The first scene is on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus led his apostles after the Last Supper. It was the night of his arrest, and Jesus quoted a prophecy from Zechariah, which he said was about to be fulfilled. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. He knew that the time had come for him to be betrayed and handed over to the soldiers. He was the shepherd in the prophecy, and the sheep were his apostles. St. Peter knew exactly what he was saying because he replied, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Jesus responded by telling him that before the rooster crowed twice that night, he would disown him three times. Peter responded emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Shortly after this, a band of soldiers showed up, well armed. We're told that all of them deserted Jesus. The sheep were scattered. But Peter followed the soldiers closely as they led Jesus away. In the courtyard of the high priest where Jesus was on trial, a servant girl saw Peter there and approached him and said, "You were with the Nazarene, Jesus." Peter denied this and told her that he did not know what she was talking about. Shortly after this, the girl approached him again and told those who were around there that Peter was one of Jesus' followers because he was a Galilean. Again, Peter denied it. A little bit later, others said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them because you are a Galilean." Peter responded by calling down curses and swearing that he did not know what they were talking about. About that time, he heard the rooster crow for the second time, and he remembered the words of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." At that moment, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He had denied Jesus and felt like a complete failure. After the resurrection of Jesus, 3 days later, Peter would have the opportunity to visit the tomb where his body had been laid. The next thing we hear is that Peter is back fishing again. Maybe he thought that since he had failed as a fisher of men, that he would return to what he knew, catching fish. While they were returning from their night fishing, Peter and the others saw a man up on the shore who asked them how many fish they had caught. When they said none, the man told them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, rather specific. They obliged, and sure enough, their net was so full that they dragged 153 fish onto the shore. At that moment, they realized that the mysterious man on the shore was Jesus. The Lord then told them to bring some of the fish, which he then cooked for breakfast. The second scene is where, after this meal, Jesus spoke to Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Simon responded, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus told him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus then asked Peter once again, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Once again, Simon answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Then for the third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter was dismayed because Jesus had asked him this question for a third time. Again, he repeated, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus then said, "Feed my sheep." There are many things that we could talk about in this important exchange, but let us focus for just a moment on what Jesus was doing here. Why this question, "Do you love me?" And why ask him the same basic question three times? The best answer for this is that Jesus, in a subtle manner, is giving Peter the opportunity to recover from that night where he denied him three times. Remember that when the soldiers showed up with all of their weaponry, Peter had scattered with the others, even though he said earlier that he was willing to die with Jesus. And even though he followed Jesus and the soldiers to the courtyard of the high priest, when given the opportunity to confess his commitment to Jesus, he failed miserably. Three times he denied even knowing him. But this is precisely where Jesus met him. In fact, Jesus gave him three opportunities to reverse his earlier denials. "Simon, do you love me?" Each time Peter asserted that he did, and Jesus followed up by telling him to feed his lambs. Peter thought that his life as an apostle was over, but Jesus thought otherwise. Jesus gently restored Peter as a shepherd over his sheep. Simon Peter would become a fisher of men. He would be a great shepherd for Christ's sheep. The great catch of fish and this personal commission of Jesus to feed his lambs worked together to reestablish Peter in his role as an apostle, as a shepherd of Christ's sheep. Shortly after this, we hear about St. Peter standing up in the center of Jerusalem, at the risk of his life, by the way, on the feast of Pentecost, proclaiming boldly the gospel of Jesus. In response to his sermon, which we heard just a few weeks ago, many were cut to the heart and embraced Jesus in faith. In fact, 3,000 were baptized that day. And surely Peter went on to convert many others and to care for Christ's flock. He did so until he paid the ultimate penalty of being crucified himself. According to tradition, Peter told the soldiers that were about to crucify him that he was not worthy to die as his Lord had died. And so they crucified him upside down. The story of Peter and Jesus gives us a beautiful picture of how Jesus works in the lives of his people. Even though this is a very personal, historical account of Jesus working in the life of one of his apostles, it is not an isolated event. And perhaps this is why we are able to relate so easily to Peter. Many of us have committed to following Christ and have then failed miserably. Does that mean that we're finished? Does it mean that Jesus is going to forsake us? This story reminds us that Jesus comes to us and gives us the opportunity to make things right. He gives us the opportunity to confess our failures. And not only does he forgive us, he also restores us so that we might serve him. This is the good news of the gospel. Jesus does not forsake us when we go astray. Rather, he seeks us out, grants us the opportunity to repent, and then forgives us. And he is even able to restore us so that we might serve him. If we have failed the Lord, let us confess our failure, receive his offer of forgiveness, and then spend the rest of our lives in his service. Let us follow the example of St. Peter, who, after being restored, went on to glorify the Lord with the rest of his life. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said...